Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by sophomore from the Boston College women's hockey team, Carrie Clarity. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, and how's everything going?
It's good. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm excited.
Well, how has your offseason been going so far, and do you have any plans this summer, whether it's hockey-related or not?
So actually, a bunch of us are here at BC. I'm in like a temporary kind of summer housing dorm room, not where I usually live, but it's on Comm Ave right down the street from campus. And so a couple of us are taking a summer class, and we're working out and training with our strength team, which is really cool that we get to do that. And so I will be here until like the end of June is when my class is over. And then after that, I'll head home and just start working. I'm working and coaching at Paul Vincent in Saugus. And then I'll just go back to my trainers. I train in Peabody when I'm at home, and I've been training with them at like Peabody Fitness Center since I was like a freshman in high school, maybe. So they know me really well down there, and I love working with them and stuff. So I'm excited to get back there soon. And then skating, actually, I'm skating with my older brother. He started a like summer hockey program, and it's called Clarity Hockey. And so it's super fun. It's all guys, like it's all college guys, which is, it's definitely a challenge sometimes keeping up with them, but it's a good one. And then other than that, like non-hockey wise, just like catching up with some friends and stuff and having fun in the mix of all the, like the training and working and all of that.
That's awesome. That sounds cool to hear. What class are you taking this summer?
I'm in a theology class called the Hebrew Bible. Actually, I have my book here. It's pretty big.
Oh, wow.
It's a thick one, but it's one of our core classes here at BC, filling up my theology, like sacred text class.
Nice, nice. That's really cool. I never knew that. So is it hard class to take, or is it sort of like if you just do your work, it's you can get through it?
Yeah, it's all asynchronous, which is really nice. So you don't have to go in person or like not even a Zoom. So you kind of just do a couple different discussion boards and stuff. And a couple of girls on the team are actually in the class too. So it's always fun like responding to their discussions and stuff when you're like sitting right next to them. But yeah, it's not too much work yet, hopefully.
I love the asynchronous classes because sometimes I just feel like sometimes it's unnecessary to do a lecture on something for like 2 weeks or something like that. So I enjoyed those classes a lot. That's something that, because of COVID, I'm glad people are starting to do more asynchronous classes because it's much better for my schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
And those discussion boards, that's I feel like it's always the same, like great post. This is what I got. So that's always pretty funny. So, well, what do you want to work on, I guess, this summer? I know you mentioned you're doing some training with your brother and all that stuff. So I guess what are some things that you're trying to work on for this upcoming season?
I feel like for me, a big focus, I feel like every summer is just like getting stronger and just like looking at like where I was last season, like physically and stuff like that, and just like working on stuff in the gym and like my strength and stuff. And then just like with my hockey like side of things, I've been really focusing on like my playmaking. And I feel like it's not necessarily like a weakness of mine, but it's just something that I feel like I'm like halfway through like my college career. And I feel like there are some like big strides that I can take in that, and just working on like my composure and stuff, and like making like maybe like a better play than I can or like have in the past and stuff. And I think that's why it's fun skating with the guys all summer, because it's definitely like a different pace and it's faster. And so where I like, when it like translates over to like playing with like the girls and stuff, like I'm playing at that same pace as I was with the guys. So I feel like it's like a good little balance between the two. And it helps being able to make that like quicker decision, even though like in making that smarter decision too. So definitely just working on like my physical strength and stuff like that. And then like hockey side of things, like my like playmaking and stuff.
Now I want to transition and sort of talk about the beginning of your hockey career and kind of work all the way up to where you are today. So you're from Lynn, Massachusetts. Talk about growing up there and how'd you start playing hockey?
Yeah, so I love growing up in Lynn. Like, it was awesome. And so I have two older brothers, which I've talked about one. They're 2 and 3 years older than me. And they started playing hockey, started skating and all of that stuff. And my parents just kind of wanted me to, like, learn how to skate. Not really, never thought that I would play hockey and stuff. I was super close to signing up for dance classes. And that would have been, like, so obviously my life would have been so different. But so I started just to do the Learn to Skate program in Lynn, which was like Saturdays for like an hour. I think I was around the age of 4 when I started skating, and I absolutely loved it. Like, it was so fun, and I kind of took to it. And so my parents decided to, you know, we'll just sign her up for a team, see how it goes. And So I started playing for Lynn Youth when I was like mites, like as early as I could, maybe like 5 or 6. And playing at Lynn was awesome. Like, it's obviously like your hometown friends, like kids you go to school with. And my dad was on the bench and stuff, which was awesome. And playing for the same program as my brothers was definitely super special. And then I transitioned to girls hockey around U10, so around Squirts, and went down that path. It was just kind of time where like it was the split started to happen with the boys and the girls programs. And I felt like it was something I was starting to take serious. It sounds crazy that I was like taking it serious at the age of 9, but I was. And I feel like I knew where I wanted to get to at that point. And I feel like moving to a girls program was definitely the right move. But yeah, playing for Lynn was awesome. And some of the best times there. And overall, like, it was just really fun. And I still go down there a lot, like the rink down there. My dad actually, after I like graduated from like the Learn to Skate program, my dad kind of took it over. And he's been running it for the past like maybe like 13 years or so. So I try to go down, especially like when we have an off weekend or like we don't have a Saturday game, I try to go down and like help out and stuff. And it's just like super cool to see that like that used to be me and stuff. And just talking to like the parents and like the different coaches and like even like I love working with the kids. And it's awesome to still have that like touch in like with my hometown and stuff. So yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I don't know too much. I'm obviously from Massachusetts myself, but I don't know too much about Lynn. I feel like it's sort of all the way up North Shore a little bit for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely on the North Shore. I love saying I'm from the North Shore, but yeah, it's a good place. You should visit sometime.
I should. The only thing I know about Lynn is I listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub all the time. And there's this guy named Tommy from Lynn that calls all the time. So yeah. Every time I think of Lynn, all I think about is that caller. So
yeah, that's hilarious.
Or did you have a favorite player growing up? I'm assuming it's someone from the Bruins. But if not, yeah. Then who was your favorite player growing up?
Yeah, you got it. It was definitely like big Bruins family, like Boston sports. Like our house is like Boston sports, like everywhere. So I feel like you can't go wrong. Like it was always Patrice Bergeron for me. Like I have so many of his jerseys or like t-shirts. I still wear them, honestly, because I'm still a huge fan. But yeah, it was always like Patrice Bergeron or like anyone really on the Bruins.
Do you think this was his last year or do you think he's will do one more year?
I don't know. I feel like obviously we expected them to go further than they did. And I like remember seeing like watching the game and seeing him get off the ice. And I don't know. I think he might be done with the way that he got off. Like you could just tell he was kind of taking it all in and stuff, but I'm holding on hope. So we'll see.
I feel like part of it might not be his decision anymore because of the whole cap situation with the Bruins. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I kind of hope he comes back, but if him leaving helps the team get better, then maybe it's the best. So I'm sort of conflicted on it. So, but my favorite player growing up was probably Tuukka. I wish he had a better send off than what Bergeron and Krejci got, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. I remember like just watching. I feel like especially that era of the Bruins was like so awesome to like grow up in because there was just so many people that you could watch and like. If you go through like our closets at home, like we just have jersey after jersey of like Bruins players and you realize like, oh my gosh, like how, I mean, they were obviously amazing this year, but like, I feel like just growing up with that like special group of guys was like awesome to be able to watch.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely a little spoiled for sure. But I feel like you could say that about every Boston sports team since I was born, if I'm being honest with you. So
yeah.
Now, before college hockey, you played for Deerfield Academy and the Boston Junior Eagles. Just talk about your experiences with both of those teams.
Yeah, so I loved going to Deerfield. Like, it was such a special and great place. So I actually went to Winchendon for my freshman and sophomore year. And I decided to transfer to Deerfield for my junior and senior year. And I'm so glad I made that decision. School, like, the whole school itself was awesome. And then hockey-wise, like, I give credit to the coaches. Like, I think the coaches really helped me develop in like the 2 years that I was there and just the team and, everyone that was involved. Like, I still talk to my coaches from Deerfield, like, at least like every couple months and stuff, still like very close in touch with them. And, it kind of sucked because my senior year was COVID. So the season got canceled and we got to play 5 games at the end, which at the time we were very grateful for, but definitely a little sour that we didn't get the chance to play a full season because I feel like we would have been really good. But overall, Deerfield was awesome. And I'm hoping to go back and visit soon. I went back last year and for like a couple of their games and stuff, which was awesome to see with the girls that I still talk to that were there. And I feel like I've made like lifelong friends there. And then hockey wise, like it's such a good program to develop in. And we kind of had a young team when I was there, and just like the coaching staff does such a good job, and like they care so much. And I was just really grateful to be part of a program like that. And then kind of similar with Eagles, I played for Aspet when I transitioned from boys to girls. So I played from Aspet from U10 to U14. And then I decided to go to Eagles U16 to U19. And again, I'm really glad I made that decision. Kind of similar to Deerfield, the coaches that I had at Eagles were incredible. And I think it just goes back to like, they want to see you succeed. And it's not like, yes, like you want to win the trophies and you want to win the national championships and stuff like that. But like, ultimately, they really just wanted to see you develop and like get you to where you wanted to be and like helping you with recruiting and all of that stuff. And it was just, I also just got to play with some of my best friends that you have your school friends, you have your hockey friends. So it was really cool to see like sometimes those would cross over too. But yeah, I feel like the big takeaways from both of them were the coaches. And again, I'm still in contact with like all my coaches that I've had at Deerfield and Eagles. So I'm just really glad that I made those like two big decisions to go to Deerfield and play for the Junior Eagles.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember watching a story on Nesson about the Junior Eagles and their head coach. I think his daughter is on Boston College women's hockey team.
Yeah.
And they were saying like how like there's like five or six future Eagles were on this one particular team that won a championship, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember. So I was a couple years younger than them. So Deirdre was, she just graduated. She was a senior. And I was lucky enough to have her dad as a coach my last year. But again, it was COVID, so it kind of got cut short. But even before Mike Milani was my coach, like actual coach, he was helping me so much. And because Deirdre also went to Deerfield, so he kind of like helped me with that too, and with that transition. And I got to play for him a couple games in the COVID year, but he is such a big part of that program, and he helps players that like he hasn't even coached yet and he's already developing them. And Deirdre's great too. I was really lucky to have her for 2 years on the team. And it was kind of like looking up to that group of girls that were, they won like the national championship. I think I was maybe a first year U16 when they won like the U19 one, probably something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be teammates with them and all of that stuff. And now they're some of my best friends. But yeah, I remember always looking up to them when I was younger.
Now, how did those experiences, I guess, help prepare you for college hockey with Boston College?
Yeah, I feel like playing prep school hockey and also playing club like kind of at the same time is a really cool crossover, because on your like club teams, a lot of, at least in Massachusetts, a lot of the girls are from the prep schools. And then you would go and play against them like during the week. And then on Sundays, you would have practice with them for like Junior Eagles or whatever team girls played for. And I feel like it was like always such high tempo at Junior Eagles and Deerfield. And there was also like a good mix of like everyone wanted to succeed and everyone was always competing at the highest level. But it also goes back to like team camaraderie, and like everyone wanted to get to the same goal of like winning, or like even just like winning that one game on a Sunday and stuff. So I feel like playing for Deerfield and Junior Eagles team wise and being like a good teammate, I learned so much, and I'm really glad to be part of the teams that I did. And then hockey wise, like just playing at such a high tempo and playing against some of like the best girls in Mass or like even from all over, like really prepared me for like the girls that I'm playing against in college, because like some of the girls are the same girls that we've played against in high school and like club.
Yeah, I think that's what makes Massachusetts hockey so special, is you can do prep school and club, where I feel like in other states you can't really do that at all. And I know every state has their own uniqueness that makes them like cool, but I feel like that's what makes Massachusetts hockey the best, in my opinion, even though I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah. I'm definitely biased being from Mass, but I think it's always, it's just always been so fun.
What's the best memory you have from your Deerfield and Junior Eagle hockey days?
I feel like my Deerfield best memory, I kind of touched on it earlier. So my senior year was kind of mostly canceled because of COVID, and we had to wear masks and we were kind of on like lockdown on campus and stuff. But Deerfield did a really good job of trying to make sure that we had like the best experience that we could get with all the restrictions. And maybe like the last couple weeks of the season, we got word that we were allowed to play 5 games. And that was like the best news in the world. Like looking back, it's like crazy to think about, but like we were so excited. And so we ended up going 5-0. So like we all say like, oh my gosh, we had an undefeated senior season and stuff. But which was, in a way, it was undefeated. And it's sucks a little bit because I think we would have been really good that year, obviously, like with those like first five games, and none of us had played a hockey game in like a while. And so it was really cool that we got to do that. And yeah, when I talk to my coaches, we still talk about how we went 5-0, and it really stinks that our season got cut short. But I think, again, Deerfield, our coaches and our team, like we made the best of it. And yeah, so that was probably my best Deerfield one. And then Junior Eagles, I feel like it would be, we went to California for nationals in 2019, I think. And that was just a really cool experience. I'd never been to California or like even on a flight like that long and stuff. And to go with some of my best friends on the team was so fun. And obviously going to nationals, like you're playing at such a high level and a bunch of girls from across the country. So it was really cool to experience that. And we also, we had a heartbreaking loss, I think in quarters in overtime. And so that kind of like stunk, but overall it was just like a really cool experience. And I'm really glad like to experience it with the team that we had.
Hey, you had to deal with all the COVID stuff. So you can definitely say however times you want that you went undefeated that year, because that was a tough year for sure. I'm always jealous. I'm watching all these graduation videos now and it's like, man, like we just got like a car honk one. That was
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got lucky with graduation that the like a lot of the rules got lifted like the week before our graduation. So I was lucky that like I had an in-person graduation, but the whole year, like we were lucky that we got to be even on campus, but like I couldn't go home. I couldn't really see my family. It was kind of like on lockdown because it was like we were in like our own little bubble. Yeah, Deerfield did the best that they could. And it's crazy looking back on like the pictures and like the memories that we have, because it like, knock on wood, the world is like in a better place now. But yeah, COVID was crazy.
Now talk about your recruiting process with Boston College, and I guess what made you want to go there versus other schools you might have looked at?
Yeah, for me, I feel like being a local kid and like Lynn's only like 30 minutes from Boston, like I feel like I've always wanted to go to BC, and I've never really thought too much about another school. And my mom actually remembers me, I want to say I was around the age of 8, and we were driving to hockey at this time. I think I was still playing for Lynn, and randomly I was in the car and I was like, mom, like I really want to go to BC and I really want to play hockey there. And my mom's like, okay, Carrie, yeah, sure, let's just drop you off at practice, and never really thought too much about it. And then when things started to get serious, it was still the only school that was really present in my mind. And so I remember when I got the opportunity to tour and like talk to the coaches and stuff, I was so grateful, and I never really thought that opportunity would come. And so to have that, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, is this real life? I remember touring being like, I've come to this rink so many times to watch games, and I've watched them on TV, and I'm like obsessed with the team and all of this stuff. So I was just really happy to get that opportunity. And then when it came down to it, like, it's such an historic and like established program, great coaching, like the past players, the present players, like all the boxes were checked for me. So I just feel like BC, and then when I was on campus, it just like felt like the right place academically also, and like the campus and all the other aspects aside from hockey. So when the opportunity arose, like I was just like, I know that this is the right choice for me. And like my family like completely agreed. It's close to home, and it's close to home, but still like a little far. I can not home all the time. And yeah, I was just really glad and like lucky and so grateful to have gotten that as an option for my recruiting process. And I'm so glad I made that decision. I'm so happy. And yeah, so for me, it was from 8 years old, it was always BC. And I'm just really glad that that like dream honestly like is present right now.
I feel like you probably were not the only kid that said that 8 years old, just because like, I don't know if you remember like hockey East night on Nesson, they did it every Friday night. And I feel like BC was the game that they always showed. They never really did women's games back in the day, but they always did the men's. And I remember like Johnny Gaudreau and all those guys, like it was always a fun team to watch. So
yeah, my brothers were always split. So my older brother, it's kind of funny now. So my older brother goes to BC, he just commutes from home. And my older brother was always BU growing up. He was always BU, always BU. My brother shared a room. Like one side was BU, and then my other brother was always BC because his initials were BC. And he was always BC. And now it's funny. And I was like, I chose a side. I chose BC and I chose the right side and all that stuff. But it's kind of funny that my older brother, who was always BU, actually goes to BC now too.
Have you converted him though, I assume?
Yeah, well, he did like the junior hockey thing. So he's only a grade above me now. So he started a year before me, but I think I converted him after I committed here and I was like, you know, come on. But yeah, yeah, he's really glad he made the choice too.
Yeah, I'm a weird person. I chose UConn after all those none of the Boston schools. One that's near Central Mass. So I thought that, yeah. I always find that kind of funny. So
yeah.
Well, during what was, I guess, the biggest adjustment you had to make to college hockey as a freshman? Was it the speed of the game, the physicality, or just the less time and space that you had with the puck, especially as a defender? I assume because you're sort of, when you do those breakouts, you need to like get that puck out as quickly as possible. So,
yeah, I feel like you mentioned it. Like, it was definitely the speed. I remember playing in my first game my freshman year. We were down in Penn State. And, you know, we've been practicing for a month and I knew the game was coming and stuff. But I just remember being and I'm like, whoa, this is fast. And you don't really have time to think about it. You kind of just have to do it. And like your brain's going a million miles an hour. But you slowly get used to it. And yeah, it was definitely the speed of the game. And it's such a high compete level. And yeah, so I feel like the speed and like the compete level was the biggest adjustment that I had to make.
Let's talk about some of the highlights from your freshman year. First one was you guys got to go down to Nashville. Just talk about that experience and what you take away from it. And I especially like the cowboy outfits that you guys showed up with before both those games. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Nashville was awesome. It was super cool. I'd never been there. And I feel like I've always wanted to go there. And we were staying, like, we were in like a pretty central spot to like where all the spots that you want to see and the sightseeing and stuff. So it was really cool to like walk around with the team and see that, and just to like travel with the team too. Like, being on a Hockey East team, like, we don't go on the plane that much, like, we can drive everywhere, so it was really cool to like travel and like go to the airport and stuff and pack up all of our stuff and just stay in a hotel and all of that. And it was just cool to share the experience, and it was just like such a cool place to see. Like, we were staying right where the Nashville team was playing and just like by like the Broadway and like all the different sites and stuff. And my parents flew down too, which was really cool. And it was over Thanksgiving too. So we got like a cool like Thanksgiving meal and stuff. And with the team, it was awesome to share it with them. Hockey wise, we definitely could have done a little bit better, but I feel like just experiencing that together, and the games were tough, but just having that like shared experience, like, we definitely came out stronger like hockey wise from it too.
I know this might sound weird, but I feel like the hockey part of it is sort of the one thing that you least remember from those type of trips. You sort of remember like most of the off-ice stuff. At least that's what I've come to know as the years have gone on for my hockey career.
Yeah, for sure. It's always like I remember this weird like memory of like Gabby Roy. There was like a cowboy statue and she was like taking a picture of it, but then I couldn't tell you like what I did in a shift in a game, but I could tell you what we were doing when we had like that like 2-hour period between practice and meal and stuff like that.
Are you a country music fan? Because I heard that's like a country music like capital pretty much.
Yeah, I actually love country music. So it was really cool to see like all of the different, like, there's just, it's everywhere. So I was like really happy to see all of that stuff.
Now, you also made it to the Beanpot final your freshman year at Northeastern. What was it like getting to play in a Beanpot? Because obviously, I assume that you dreamed of getting the chance to play in one of those as a kid. And just talk about the experience of getting the chance to make it to the championship game and a really hard-fought game between you and Harvard that year.
Yeah, like you said, like, I've always dreamed of playing in the Beanpot. And I remember we used to go to the Beanpot sometimes if we could get tickets when I was younger. And so it was really cool. And just like growing up so close to Boston, it was such like a surreal experience. And yeah, even that semifinal game against Northeastern was like a huge win for us. I remember going, like, our team was going crazy when we won that game. And it was such a hard fought game. And those games, you kind of play to a different level in the Beanpot. And I don't think it can't really be described until you're in it. And like, you can say, I'm prepared, I'm not nervous and all this stuff. But then when you're playing, you're like, this is it's playoff like hockey, like you're playing for a trophy. And I think it's really cool that Boston schools do that. And so, yeah, beating Northeastern was awesome. And then that Harvard game was so back and forth. It was so high paced and high compete. It was so physical and tough, tough loss to swallow. But because we kept coming back and we kept coming back. But yeah, the ending definitely like wasn't ideal, but it was so awesome to have that be my first Beanpot experience. And yeah, it was just like kind of like childhood dreams. And like, again, like my parents, my brothers, my whole family goes to like the bean pot and stuff like that. So it was really cool to like share that with them too.
How excited are you that's coming to the garden next season?
I think that's so awesome. I think it's a step in the right direction and I'm so excited and I can't wait for that to happen next year.
I feel like it's going to be more people are going to go to that because I feel like the event sort of like people go to the garden just to go to the garden, not sometimes just for the event that's taking place. So I feel like more people show up just because it's at the garden. And I think it's, I don't know, I feel like you guys deserved it after so many years not having the chance to play the bean pot there.
Yeah, I think it's cool how they did the thing where like it switched every year that the host between the four schools, which was awesome. But I feel like it was time to like kind of change things up and you know, like obviously we know like the men's team plays there and stuff. So I think it's cool. And I'm really glad that I'm like here to be able to experience that and like kind of in the first year of it too. I'm really excited.
Now, is the semifinal still going to be played on campus? That's what I was told. I just want to get some confirmation on that.
Yeah, I'm still also a little confused on that. So I think it's just the final, but don't
not the consolation game at all.
I am not sure about the consolation game, but hopefully we won't have to worry about that. But I'm not really sure 100% on like what the deal is with like what games are actually played there.
Yeah, I know definitely the championship one is. Yeah. I just didn't know if the other ones were as well, but they should honestly get rid of that consolation game. I think it's sort of meaningless and I know none of the players like playing in that at all. So.
I mean, knock on wood, I haven't played in one yet, but I can only imagine like how tough it would be. I remember just like both years we were prepping for our final and when like one of my pregame routines is I just like go and like kind of chill in the stands for a little bit. And it's kind of throwing me off too that I'm like watching a game before playing and stuff. But yeah, it's always kind of like a funny game to kind of watch because it's like no one really knows what to do on the ice because it's like we're not really doing much out here.
Well, some of those games are important because like if you lose it, it could affect your pairwise for the tournament.
Yeah.
So like sometimes like you have to sort of like try. But I just feel bad when it's like two teams that have really nothing to play for. It means nothing for conference standings at all. It's just like, I don't understand why they have to play that game.
Yeah.
Now, in your first ever hockey's playoff game against Maine, your freshman year, you lost to them in OT. I sort of want to ask, what did you learn from your first playoff experience that has helped you out during your sophomore year and beyond?
Yeah. So kind of like similar to the bean pot, like obviously like this is actual playoffs. So it's just like kind of to a different level and it's a clean slate. And with Hockey East, it's like one game elimination. So losing that game was definitely a tough pill to swallow. And I feel like for me, it definitely lingered throughout like the whole spring going through like the workouts and skates and all of that stuff. And in the summer too, definitely. And I feel like it just pushed me to like know that like we wanted more and we had more to give. And so it kind of just like pushed me and I'm sure like a lot of other girls to like work that much harder in the spring and the summer to come back like ready to go. And yeah, losing that, especially in overtime, like that was just tough. I just remember being there like, oh my gosh, like we obviously like didn't, no one really expects that to happen. And, but yeah, it was a hard fought game and Maine gave us a great game. And, but yeah, I feel like for me, it just like pushed me to work. It kind of lingered in my head all summer. And I was like, I don't want that to happen again. I need to work that much harder off ice and on the ice throughout the spring and the summer.
Now, what do you think was the biggest improvement you made to your game during your sophomore year? I thought, at least from my perspective as a fan, I thought defensively you got better. I remember you guys had a lot of freshman D your freshman year, your class. And I feel like you guys really took a step forward defensively. And I feel like it really helped improve your team a little bit from that aspect of things. So from your perspective, I guess, what do you think was the biggest improvement you made to your game? And what did you do during that summer to, work on that part of your game?
I feel like for me this year, like I definitely just felt like more confident, I guess, and like definitely more comfortable. And I feel like freshman year, there's so many new things going on and you're just kind of like learning the systems and kind of getting your feet wet and figuring out what's going on and adjusting to the pace and stuff. So I feel like sophomore year coming in, I had really focused on my mindset and it's something that I've been working on for a while and I'm still working on it. And just being able to have that mindset where it's like, okay, to like, if I make like a bad play or like not the best player, have a bad shift period, whatever it is, I feel like I have the ability to kind of brush it off and kind of reset my mind in a way. And so I feel like that just goes back to me being like confident and like comfortable within myself and just being like, stuff happens, it's totally fine. Like just brush it off and just go give that much more in that next shift. So I feel like working on my mindset and like continuing to work on it so I can be even better next year has been like the biggest thing that I did, I think, last summer, aside from like physical stuff. And yeah, I just feel like overall it's a strength that people sometimes don't think about. And because mentally it's a lot to play too. And so you have to have that mentality of like, stuff happens, it's all good, like just brush it off and just go out there and fix it and just do better next shift. So I feel like that is something, and just like built, like helped build my confidence and just being like more comfortable on the ice this year.
Now talk about your team's performance this past season, and I guess what did you take away from it from your perspective?
Yeah, this season was definitely a lot of fun. I feel like with any season there's ups, there's downs, and we had some pretty big wins, and I feel like the bean pot again, just like always going back to that, was awesome. And again, a tough loss at the end, but we're working on it. We're building that up for next season. And I feel like, again, with the going back to the main OT loss, I remember just like kind of going into our playoff game this year, and it definitely lingered in my mind a little bit. And so having that OT win against UConn was amazing, and it was so awesome. And then we had a tough loss in the semis against Northeastern, but overall it's just our teams this season has made me that much more excited for next season, because I feel like we have a really special group next year, and we have a good core, and I feel like it's just going to be a lot of fun. And I feel like the end of this season is just making me so much more excited for next season, and like what we did this year we can do even better next year.
I do want to ask you about the Bean Pop, because you guys got to host it this past year. What was it like getting the chance to host it and playing in front of your home fans in that big of a game? And what did you take away from that championship game, even though you guys lost another tough game against Northeastern, sort of similar to the one against Harvard, I felt like?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bean Pop is so awesome, so special. And to be able to host it was really cool, too. And just kind of like even that, just like walk to the rink, like just to know that like I'm here, I'm playing for the Beanpot and like Conti, was awesome. And it was really cool to like kind of market the game too. Like our team had a lot of fun with that. We were making like posters and banners and hanging them up around campus and in our dorms, and like kind of telling whoever we saw to be like, come to the Women's Beanpot, it's here, you don't have to go far. And I think it was free for BC students too. And we got a pretty decent crowd both games, which was awesome, because sometimes it's a little empty in there, but it was cool to see. And it was also really cool to see like the youth teams that come out to our games, and especially in the Bean Pot, there were a lot of them. And there's just like girls like banging on the glass during warmups, being like, can I have a puck? Can I have a puck? And all of that things. And it's definitely, it kind of warms my heart a little bit, because that used to be me running around the rinks. And so you always like throwing over the glass for them and stuff. And the first game against Harvard was awesome. I actually scored my first goal of the season in that game, which
that was a really good goal.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. And I just remember seeing the goal light go off, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just scored in the Bean Pot. Like, I was like, there's no way that just happened, whatever. And my entire family was there, like parents, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandpa, everyone was there. So it was really cool that they were there to see that too. And to share that with my teammates was awesome. And having like my friends in the crowd from BC was so awesome to be able to play in front of them. And then the finals is again like a hard fought battle, and definitely would have been ideal if we could have won it in our own rink, but maybe we'll win it in the Garden next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that would be a good way to sort of get revenge, to do it at the Garden. I don't know. That's just me personally, but that's at least the mindset that I would have. Mm-hmm. Now, I do sort of want to ask, how does it, like, when the kids are banging on the glass, have you ever given one of them a puck? I feel like Kayla Barnes, I feel bad, because I feel like all the kids are always hounding her for sticks, pucks, something.
Yeah, kids are, especially to Barnesy, like, they're always trying to grab her sticks, like, when we're going in the tunnel and stuff, and she's like, no, I kind of need that, like, maybe another time and stuff. But yeah, she is great with that kind of stuff. She'll always, like, throw a puck over the glass or sign any autograph in the world, and kids will come up with her jersey on and like point to it on their backs and stuff. But yeah, if I ever catch a kid during warmups or anything bang on the glass, I'll try to throw one over for them, because I just think it's really special. Like, I still have the pucks from like when I was a kid of like players that like I would bang on the glass for, like from like the Bruins games and stuff. So I just think it's like a really simple thing that goes a long way.
Now, you guys won your first playoff game, at least from your playing career, against UConn in overtime. Obviously, you talked about what you learned from that main game in overtime. You said that helped you out for your first for this playoff game against UConn. So just talk about that win and what it meant for your team to finally get over the hump and sort of win in overtime in the hockey's quarterfinals.
Yeah, that was definitely a huge win for us. And I feel like with UConn, it's always back and forth with us. Like any game with them is up for grabs. And so again, it was a really like physical game and hard fought. And I remember going into overtime and just kind of thinking like, we got this. Like, I'm not, like, I know we have this one. Like there was just like a different feeling in the locker room and like among the team that we were like, we're not letting this happen again. And we know what we have to do and we can totally do it. And I remember seeing Katie Pine and Abby Newhook go on that 2-on-1. And I was like, there's no doubt in my mind that this puck is going in the back of the net. And just being able to like, I wasn't on the ice at the time to just like jump the boards and like have like that like huge celebration with the team. It was so awesome. And to have that be my grade's first playoff win was awesome. And yeah, definitely. We always like to have it be a thriller. Always yeah. Have to go into overtime.
I do want to ask, I know BU BC is like obviously your biggest rival, but I feel like you guys play UConn in so many tough, tight games. And I feel like I remember hearing a stat where Boston College and UConn have played each other in the playoffs like 7 or 8 times in the last like 10 years. Would you consider UConn one of your rivals outside of BU, obviously?
At this point, I think yes. I think UConn would be one of our rivals. Like I remember, I think it was the COVID year. So the year before I got here, they played them 1,000 times because
yeah.
Only teams being played. So I feel like maybe during that time it had always been a hard fought battle with them, and then just like playing them 1,000 times that year maybe. But even through my time here, it's always like there's a different sense on the ice when we're playing UConn, kind of similar to like a rivalry type thing.
Now talk about Katie Pine's celebration. Was that the one of the best sellies you've seen?
Absolutely. Yeah, Katie Selly, like she is the best. And I was really happy that she scored that goal, and I feel like there's no better person to do it. And her celly just showed that. And like, she's one of my best friends and roommates. And so it was really cool. And her smile on her face was just awesome. And everyone jumping on her was just incredible.
Obviously, unfortunately, your season came to a close against Northeastern in the hockey semifinals. How have you reflected on that loss since it happened, since it's been like 3 months since it's happened, which feels like it's flown by. It feels like it was like 6 months from now. So
Yeah, it does feel like a long time ago, I think, especially from like what I know our team has been putting in already. And yeah, that was definitely a tough loss again with Northeastern. There's definitely a rivalry there. And I think we played them like 4 or 5 times this year. And that loss was definitely a heartbreaker, and it sucked to see our season end. And it was a good game and stuff, but I feel like, again, similar to the main loss, like it just kind of, for me personally, dwelled on it a couple days and kind of let it sting for a little bit. But then you kind of have to turn the page and be like, okay, like what can I do starting now to build myself and the team until the next season and stuff. And so I feel like a lot of girls had that same mindset, and right away from our spring workouts, and that started like middle of March, maybe end of March. And there was a vibe in the like weight room and the locker room that was like in a good way, that everyone was ready to work hard and just to build on that. And yeah, so I'm just really excited. I think we have a special group next year, and with the group of us staying here this summer, we're even building on what we did in the spring. And yeah, so I think we're really excited for next season, and hopefully we can get that much further next season and build on like what we have already started.
What are your team's goals and expectations for next season? Because obviously the big story with your team is that you're losing some of your key players like Hannah Bilka, Kayla Barnes, and I believe Abby Levy's eligibility is up after last year. So I guess what message would you give to fans listening? And I guess what are your team's goals and expectations? Because I still feel like you guys have a lot of talented players that can get the job done. I think Hockey East is wide open this year as well. So just what's your whole perspective on next season? What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, I think we have a really special group next year, and we have a ton of talent. And I also think we have a really strong work ethic, and we're all ready to kind of like put our heads down and go to work right away when we get here at like the end of August, I think. And I think we're just trying to establish ourselves as a presence, and whether that is like having those big wins or just kind of having maybe some more consistency is what we're looking for. And whether that be those big games in the Beanpot, Hockey East, and like hopefully the NCAA tournament, like we're just really excited. And yeah, I think just kind of establishing ourselves as like, we're here, we're ready to go. And like, we're a good team to play against. So we're really looking forward to it. And I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And obviously, you know, you're going to be one of the older players in the team now, which is crazy to believe that. So what type of leadership are you going to try to bring to the team? I know you don't have a letter, but I feel like as a junior, you sort of have to lead by example a little bit for some of those freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely weird being an upperclassman already. I feel like it's flying by, but I'm excited. I feel like my grade especially is really excited. And I think we have a really good group of freshmen coming in. And so I feel like just taking them under our wings and kind of showing them the ropes a little bit and like what our team's all about. And our team is really close and like a team first mentality. So just kind of teaching them like the different things that we do and all of that, and just kind of doing what we can. And like you said, like leading by example. And I feel like just doing like those like little things and just kind of like looking out for everyone and on the ice, again, having that like high compete level and kind of just pushing each other like to a higher standard and just like making sure that we're doing like the best that we can.
Now we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you and your team a little bit more off the ice. So first one is, what music do you like to listen to?
I'm always listening to music. If you ask any of my roommates, there's usually something playing from my room or my phone, whatever it is, or like I have my AirPods in or something. Right now, and for a while, actually, Zach Bryan has been one of my favorite artists. He's awesome. I was really sad I didn't get tickets to his concert. I think that was a couple weeks ago. And then like kind of anything country, I mentioned that earlier. Luke Combs, especially, I love him. And then other than country, I love Taylor Swift. I just went to her concert last weekend, which was awesome. And then just like Harry Styles, Noah Kahan are like definitely in like my like top artists. But yeah, I'm always listening to music.
I'm the same way. I have a playlist for every genre of music that I like. So like I have a hip hop playlist, rock playlist, pop, country as well. So whatever mood I'm in, I just go to that particular playlist. But how was the Taylor Swift concert last weekend? I feel like that's everyone could talk about. And the thing that I'm most curious about was, how long did it take you to leave the Gillette Stadium parking lot?
Oh my gosh. I also went on Saturday when it was absolutely downpouring. I have never seen it rain that hard ever, I think, in my life. And so I went with some of my cousins, and we didn't think the rain was going to be that bad, but it was that bad. And she performed the entire time and did not skip a beat, did not change anything about her performance. It was like, I mean, obviously, like, I'm like a crazy fan, but like, it was the best concert I've ever been to. And leaving was a struggle. So I obviously was driving home to Lynn with my cousins. They live in Peabody. And the concert ended around 11:30, maybe a little earlier. We didn't leave the parking lot until 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Traffic. So I ultimately got home from Gillette at 3.
Wow. That's why I hesitate to go to those concerts, because I love music, but I hate traffic even more. So it's sort of like a battle between my mind of like whether I want to do that stuff or not.
It was crazy.
Well, luckily the show was good. And I know Taylor Swift fans love the rain show. I know that's sort of a thing with her. And it looked like it was downpouring in that concert. Like her, like I saw her piano looked like completely soaked.
Yeah, her piano broke for her third. So she had another night at Gillette, I think on Sunday, and her piano broke because of the night before. So she couldn't even use it.
That's awesome. What era of Taylor Swift music is your favorite?
I don't know. I feel like right now I'm in like my 1989 era. I feel like that's what I've been listening to a lot. But then on the other side of things, I think after the concert, I've been listening to her Folklore and Evermore music a ton, because surprisingly, that was like my favorite part of her performance. And but honestly, I kind of just go on Apple Music and just kind of shuffle Taylor Swift, and just whatever comes on is what I'm usually listening to.
Nice. Style is one of my favorite pop songs. Yeah. So I definitely would say I'm more of a 1989 guy myself. Now, what is your most embarrassing hockey moment that you've ever had? Have you ever left your skate guards on? Have you ever been received a big check before? Like, what would you say is like the most embarrassing moment in your hockey career?
I definitely have a lot. I remember when I was like really little, I don't know why, probably because I probably wasn't moving much on the ice. My feet, and the Lynn rink is freezing. My feet used to get so cold that when I would get off the ice, sometimes I would be like bawling my eyes out because like I could not feel my feet at all. And I remember like my mom and the other hockey moms would legit like take clear tape and wrap hockey socks around my feet to like warm them up. And some of the moms still don't let me live it down. I still see them because like we're still family friends with them, and they always bring it up. Or I remember I just always like would break my stick in like the Zamboni door, like going to get a puck. Like it would be my luck to get it stuck in the Zamboni door. have definitely gone on the ice with my skate guards, broken blades in the middle of a game, and then like not realizing that it's broken and like trying to skate, or just like falling in the middle of the ice, just kind of things like that. I've definitely done it all.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you have one of the most grittiest hockey photos I've ever seen. It was against UNH and it was like a board battle and you like dumped the puck and someone like lammed you in the boards. But I just thought it was a super gritty photo because you were taking just to get the puck in deep, which I think is the most badass thing you can do in hockey, especially as a defender. So I would let you know. I wanted to let you know about that.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like, I'm a big red line, get it deep and just kind of take whatever pressure is coming. And I feel like I'm like a taller player too, so that usually happens to me and stuff. But that's actually really funny that you brought that up.
Now, my favorite skateboard story is when Tuukka lost his in one of those playoff games, and like they scored and he got so mad at the referees, like yelling at him like with this blade, and he like can't walk and he's like falling over. It's like one of the funniest hockey videos I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. That's hilarious.
Now, what is the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
I feel like you kind of just brought it up. Like you mentioned it with the Taylor Swift stuff. I feel like, again, I'm biased, but everything on like my TikTok or like anything that I've been reading has been all Taylor Swift, and just like everyone's reaction to, I think especially her rain show was super cool. And to just know that, like, oh my gosh, I was there, was awesome. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm just still in my Taylor Swift post concert, just listening and just reading about all of her stuff.
Yeah. Are you in post-concert depression right now? That's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I feel like I am. I feel like I am. I'm going to Luke Combs in July. So I have a little more until I go to another concert.
Yeah, no, that will hopefully make up for it. I guess for me, probably, obviously, you know, big Boston sports fan, and Celtics are down 3-1 now. And I was watching the 4 days of October documentary, 30 for 30, when the Red Sox came back and won that series against the Yankees. And I just thought the whole Kevin Millar thing's like, don't let us win this game, you know, because game 5, Pedro starting, game 6, Shills on the mound, and game 7, anything can happen. I just thought that was a great quote. So that's sort of been my mindset now for Boston sports, is just don't let us win one.
Yeah, exactly. I've been seeing that too, actually. That popped up my TikTok a little while ago, and I knew, I've seen it before. I think like I've watched it with like maybe my dad and my brothers and stuff, but yeah. So hopefully the Celtics can pull it out.
Now, question about a few of your teammates. So who do you say has the best style on the team, I guess, pregame style? Because your team might be one of the most well-dressed teams, definitely in Hockey East, but potentially in the country.
Yeah, I also especially love my pregame outfits. I think it's so fun. And a lot of like other sports don't really do that. And I think it just adds like a kind of sense of like professionalism to the game. And it just makes you feel really cool and stuff. Like I just kind of had the mentality, like, look good, feel good, play good. And I would give best pregame style to probably Kylie Erickson. She's again one of my best friends and one of my roommates, and so I kind of see her closet and stuff and like what goes into like what she's choosing to wear. And I think she has really cool clothes and like good style, and it always like comes together for her.
Is she part of that crew with Abby Newhook and Kate Ham? Because I see the three, it looks like a boy band or girl band walking towards the rink. I love those pictures.
Yeah, when we see like the media outside, we're like, oh gosh, who's gonna be on the Instagram today or stuff. But yeah, I think it's fun that we do that. And it's just really cool again to like just share that with the girls and be like, oh my gosh, I love your outfit before you go play against like in the Beanpot. That's what you're worrying about.
Will you join the crew next season? I feel like there needs to be a fourth member.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, I always miss the camera for some reason. I always miss the camera, but maybe next year.
Yeah, I would say, like, I remember Willa Corson probably had some of the best style of all time. So yeah. I know she's not playing anymore, but I always enjoyed her outfits. So
yeah, she always dresses, like, so cool. I love her outfits.
We'll give you a preview. Obviously, tomorrow, College Hockey Talk will be announcing the top 10 players with the best style for both men's and women's college hockey. I know that's something that a lot of our fans have been waiting on. And I know for the men's side, Cutter Gauthier won the best style for men's college hockey. So there will be some Boston College representatives in those.
Awesome. Awards. That's awesome.
Well, two more non-hockey questions is, if there was a movie made about your life, who would you want to play yourself?
Yeah, I was thinking about this one and I was like kind of stumped at first, because I feel like it's a question that like people definitely ask, but for some reason, I don't know why, Jennifer Lawrence came to mind. Like maybe like when she was like younger, maybe in like her like Hunger Games era. Mm-hmm. And I just think she's like super cool and like hilarious. So I feel like that'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. She's definitely one of my favorite actresses. I would say for me, probably Andrew Garfield. I know we look nothing alike, but I liked him in Spider-Man, and I feel like he would do a good job like sort of playing out my mannerisms.
Yeah.
Last non-hockey question is, if you could have lunch with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
She's really present in this interview, but I think it would have to be Taylor Swift. Yeah, I think it would definitely be Taylor Swift. I just think she's so cool, and just to be able to like sit down and talk to her about her music and stuff, and just her life would be super cool.
I would honestly be interested to hear what she has to say about like her fame, because I would say she's probably one of the most famous people on the planet right now, and sort of her thoughts on like how you handle all these people like knowing who you are. I feel like that would be a little overwhelming for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for my lunch, I get to switch my answer every episode. I would say this might be a little controversial, but Sean Avery, I was just watching like clips of him like agitating people, and I just thought it was pretty interesting. So I would like to have a conversation with him and hear all about it.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Well, getting back to some hockey questions now before we end this interview, any advice you would give to younger players on what it takes to make it to college hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always a cliche, and I feel like you always hear people say this, but it is the truth. Like, you really just have to keep working and just like enjoy it, because it can be a lot sometimes, but if you're not really enjoying it, then there's really no point. And I feel like for me, like I genuinely, like I love playing hockey. I love going to practice every day. Like it's something that is still like obviously a huge part of my life, and I'm so grateful to play it here. And if it's something, if other girls or like young kids are looking to do that too, just keep working hard, and like it will come if you put that hard work in. And just like overall, like don't stress out too much, don't put too much pressure on yourself, because if you do, you kind of lead yourself to burnout. And so I feel like for me, I always keep it light and fun, and just like joking with my teammates and stuff, and like knowing when to take it seriously and knowing when to keep it light is so important. And so yeah, just have fun with it and just trust the process. Also, like things will always work out, and yeah, just keep working hard.
Do you have any shout outs you want to give to your family members, teammates, former teammates, and who should we have on the podcast next? We haven't had a lot of BC players on, so I feel like you have some good suggestions for that.
Yeah, I feel like for who to have on next, I feel like Katie Pine would be awesome to have on, and Abby Newhook again. Obviously, they're some of my best friends, so I would say some of them, but I think they'd be really fun to have on. And then for shout outs, actually, I mentioned earlier, my brother is starting a like summer development program called Clarity Hockey, and it's super fun, and he puts so much work into that. So definitely want to shout him out, and I'm excited to skate with them this summer and develop on some things and skate with the guys. And yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So shout out Clarity Hockey.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate your time. It means so much to myself. I wish you and your team nothing but the best for next season, and have a great off season. Have a great summer. And I hope you enjoy more concerts, and obviously best of luck with training as well. And I can't wait to see the improvements that you make to your game for next season.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
One step forward and another back. I would never try to fool ya. I'm one heartbeat away from going mad. Girl, when you look like that. Close up, close up. I'ma get closer to you. Yeah, got me, baby. Got me hooked on you once again.